Father, we just give this time to you. We invite you, Lord. We just thank you for loving us and taking care of us. And we just thank you for coming into our life and choosing to live inside of us to reach this world. We thank you so much for that. Please come and just anoint your message this morning. Just breathe life into it, Lord, that will change our life, that will birth life into us, because we just need to be in oneness with you. We need for you to be seen, Lord, for your glory to be seen through us. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the way that God chose, we're going to talk about birthing Jesus. And the way that God chose to bring Jesus into the world the first time was through a simple, humble woman, through a human being. And he just kind of gave me the parallel of that, because Jesus was inside of the womb of Mary for a long time before he was born, where others could experience him. And then she even got to raise him. You know, he stayed right there in her life and grew up with her for a long time before he went forth into public ministry. And I got thinking about the parallel of how we carry him in our womb now as Christians. And I think that we're coming to the time of birthing him in a greater way into this world. So I just wanted us to parallel that story with Mary and think about it as a parallel of how he lives in us. In Luke 1 is where we're going to be reading, and starting in verse 30. Mary, she had a visit by an angel. Then this is where it all started. She had a witness who came to her. And we have witnesses that come to us before Christ is implanted in us. We have witnesses that talk to us about him. So Luke 1:30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And you know, we found favor with God in that he chose us, that he died for us, that he wants to live inside of us. "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And this whole plan, before Mary carried Jesus in her womb, he planned for us to carry Jesus in our womb one day, in our spiritual womb. So we were created by the favor of God to carry Christ in our womb. Verse 32, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Having Christ come to live in you can't happen by the will of man. It can't happen by anything except the blood of Christ and us coming and accepting him. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." You know, we could just linger on the Holy Ghost coming upon us. What an amazing, amazing thought that the God of heaven wants to come down and live inside of us. Just like Mary, we found favor. Just like Mary, we've been chosen to carry Jesus in our womb. Now, I want to think about the pregnancy of Mary. During that long pregnancy, when she had Christ inside of her womb, only she got to experience him. Others didn't get to experience him yet. This was personal. This was private. She developed, I mean, if you're a mother, you know, there's only two mothers in the room. But you know that even when that baby is in the womb, you know him. You know him in spirit. It's a really unique experience only a woman goes through. And it gives you full understanding of how you can know God in spirit without seeing him in a body. You know that baby in your womb. And the more he grows, the more you know him, the more love, the bonding that's forming between the two of you that nobody else could understand. Her physical pregnancy changes her. It's developing a mother heart inside of her that she didn't have before. It changes everything about a woman to carry a baby. If that baby is never born, like I've lost, well, my baby was born, but he only lived one day. But if you've lost a baby, you understand how mothering developed in you before the baby was born. Because when you don't have that baby, everything in you is aching to mother. So you know that even before you ever saw them, mothering had changed your heart. Something in you became different. You don't understand how, why, or what, but you are aching to have a child to mother because he's changed you just by being inside of you. When we accept Christ, we go through that time where we're being changed just because Christ is inside of us. Something is going on, a transformation that's personal, and it's only about us. It's between us and him. Others can't understand it. We can talk about it, but it's like showing them an ultrasound. You know, there really is a baby. There really is a Jesus in me, and we want them to know him. We want them to meet him. We can talk about him, but they can't see him yet. They can't really experience him for themselves until they meet him. In John 16:21, comes up to the labor room. Well, let me mention, though, a physical pregnancy is 9 months. 9 months may sound like a short time to you, but if you've ever carried a baby for 9 months, it feels like 9 years. I mean, it puts your body out of shape. It makes your back hurt. It's changing things about you that are uncomfortable to accept. And when we accept Christ, sometimes there's an uncomfortable season of helping us become a Christian, helping us become a different person. And it's personal, and it just belongs to us. Now we move past, for us it could be 9 years, it could be an entire lifetime, you know, there's not a 9 month limit. So we come to the labor room in John 16:21. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Mary could hardly wait for her son to be born. She longed to hold him in her arms, look on his precious little face. And there was only one way that could happen. She had to go through labor pains. Now there's where you really start getting some pride stripped. When there is like, oh my gosh, I am the most modest person you're ever going to meet in this world. And I jokingly tell people, I don't even look in a mirror when I'm naked. I don't want to see me. You know, I am extremely modest. I never changed clothes in front of sisters and brothers. I didn't do that. You know, I always went in a room, shut the door. But when you get ready to deliver a baby, there is no more modesty. Pride is gone. Humility is rampant. Your makeup's off. Your hair's a mess. You're naked and you're just exposed, you know, totally exposed. But for Christ to be born out of us, we have to be exposed. We have to be vulnerable. We have to be undone. It's not easy. It's painful. It's very painful. Mary didn't get to choose when that labor would begin, and we don't get to choose. It begins when God says it begins. And it might not be so private anymore. There's other people that are watching you go through it, and you are exposed. Through each excruciating pain, Christ was pushing a little closer to the breakthrough. A little closer. If you've ever been if you've been honored to be in the labor room when a woman's in labor, they have a little machine, and it goes from 1 to 10, 0 to 10. Every time she has a pain, thank God those pains have resting points because they're horrible. They say labor is the worst pain you could ever go through. And it is so excruciating that you can only take a few seconds of it and then it gives you a rest. But during those few seconds, that needle, you know, it'll go up 3, go up to 4, go up to 5. And the doctor's going, well, it's not very strong yet. And you're going, you've got to be kidding. I thought I'd die at 3. And you're telling me 5 isn't much? Now you get up there to that 9 and 10 and you're at the screaming level, you know. Some women scream, I claw, you know. My first baby I had, I was young and they told me I was a baby and I couldn't take it. I was determined I would not make a sound. But when that doctor stood by my bed, and I'm sure it hit a 10, if there's an 11, it had to go there. But I didn't make a sound, not a sound. And that doctor said, I sure wish you'd scream. And his arm was bleeding because I had right down his arm. But when you get to that 10, oh my goodness. And yet there's no greater joy than that baby being born. Then comes the moment. You know what? And there's only a privileged few you let be in that room with you. There's only a few people you will allow. For me, it was no one. But for most people, there's a few you allow in that room during the actual birth. And such a pleasure, such a joy for them to be there. And yet, while you're in pain, they can't help you. They can't change it. They can't fix it. And, you know, they didn't do all this, go to Lamaze class and learn to breathe and have your partner tell you how to breathe and coach you. It doesn't really make any difference. It doesn't help. It just gives you something to do to think you're doing something about the pain. It really doesn't help because they didn't do those things when I had my babies. And those babies just come when they come. Nobody told me how to breathe. Nobody said push. In fact, I think it was better if you didn't do those things, because sometimes you push and it causes worse things, you know. And you can't push the birthing of Christ. You have to let him come. You have to allow him to come. Even if it's painful, you just let it happen. You let him be born. You accept the pains that you have to go through in that labor time. And your friends, they can't help you. Some of them stay by you. They may hold your hand. They may be praying for you. But they can't take that painful birthing of Christ away out of your life. During that labor, maybe you're going back through some issues where you need to forgive. And if God has taken you to a more advanced level of learning to forgive, he may create new issues where you need to forgive. He may create continuous issues where you get to practice forgiving, because forgiveness is powerful. And you're never going to birth Christ if you don't own forgiveness. You'll never fully birth him until you own forgiveness. You'll never fully birth him until you own humility, because the greatest breakthrough in birthing, that wall that is so thick and he has to push and push and push until he can break past it, is pride. And if he doesn't break past the pride, he doesn't get seen. So it is painful and all kinds of different things. That's why he allows some of the suffering we go through. It's the labor pains of birthing Christ. We're chosen to carry him. We're chosen to birth him. But the birthing of Christ is birthing the character of Christ. It's birthing him in all that he is. It's not us doing things for him. It's not us acting like him. It's him. It's us just coming into being with him and letting him be seen rather than us. It's what he does, not what we do. And we really have to embrace humility for that birthing to happen. When that final push happens and Christ breaks through, that last big, hard push, when that light hits 10 and pride is broken and Christ is seen, the very first thing seen in that labor room is the head. If you've allowed somebody else to be there in birthing and they're waiting and they're waiting and they're watching and they're waiting, all of a sudden somebody will say, I see the head! He's coming! When the headship of Christ begins to be seen in your life, he's coming. He's coming. That's the only thing that indicates he's about to be born. His headship. His leadership. That he's the one in control of your life. It's the headship of Christ that comes forth first. Once he's born, once Mary held that baby, she was the first one. She embraced him in a way no one else ever could. And you'll embrace Christ for yourself in a way that no one else will ever understand. They'll have their own embrace when they accept him, but yours is different. Yours is personal. He's yours. Just being with him, just always being in love with him, and he will never take that away from you. But if you think about it, this love, it's not the kind that's selfish. You know, sometimes there's a selfish love. Like with our husband, we don't really want to share him in the same way we know him. I mean, you can like him as your friend, you can like him as your pastor, you can like him as your dad, your brother, whatever, but you can't like him as a husband. He's all mine that way. Sometimes we have a type of a jealous love that we don't fully want to share someone. But the love of Christ is so different that the more you share him, the more love you get from him. It's a thrill, it's a joy to share him. So after Mary cuddled that baby and kissed his little face and held him up to her heart, she finally looks around and wants to share him because she sees others that are aching, needing to be loved. And she's, well, just you hold him. You take him. Don't you know when you get out of that hospital if you've had a baby, everybody wants to come and see the baby and you can't wait for the next visitor. You can't wait to show him off. You can't wait for them to hold him. Even as your child begins to grow, you want everybody to love him like you do, to know him like you do. But there's always still that special intimacy that belongs only to you and your child. And you get to hold on to that. You know, God is birthing Christ in a new way. He was birthed as Savior. He was birthed physically. And he walked around and he saved people and he loved people. And it was still a parallel. Because as we come toward the end days, there's going to be this outpouring of God. A greater fullness of all that he is that had not been revealed yet. He wants to pour out his fullness of his character. And he will do it through the womb of the church. He'll do it through the womb of each Christian who will let him do it. Who will embrace their humility, who will embrace their transformation, who will hunger to birth him out and share him with others. After we have a baby and we want everyone to come and see him, that's exciting and it's good. It's part of our healing as we recover from the birthing. But then, after a week or two, nobody comes anymore. People come, they take a look, oh, he's so sweet, and they go away. We might not see them again. There's occasional visitors. There's people who occasionally visit Christ, even when we're showing them Christ. They're okay with a glimpse. But there's some who hunger for him, and they come back for more and more. They want to be a part of his life. Are we ready to go through whatever this final pushing labor pain is to birth this move of God in the fullness of the character of Christ? Are we ready? Are we ready for that? When we listen to the worship songs, there's only two, and I took them from the life of Mary, just relating to her and what she felt, what she went through. And yet as I looked at it, the second one where it's kind of seeing pictures of Jesus on earth, but that's not the same picture we're going to birth because he was trapped in flesh, and now he's only trapped in our flesh. But when we release him, he won't be trapped by our flesh. He will be released in the fullness of his glory. The glory of God that's going to cover the earth won't be trapped. It will be released. And there's that picture that he was trapped in flesh. He was birthed through Mary, but he was still trapped in a fleshly body. But after he paid for our sins, after he defeated death, he got a glorified body. We're going to get a glorified body. When we birth Christ this time, and we've been birthing him, but not to the fullest. The full character of Christ will take our pride getting out of the way because we're blocking him. We're blocking what he really looks like. We're blocking what he really acts like. Every time we defend ourselves, every time we exalt ourselves, every time we back up in fear or step out in arrogance, we're blocking. They can't see him. I want to talk about after the birthing. I don't know if I'm supposed to bring it all right now. I didn't print it out. But Mary, Jesus, and you picture this in your Christianity. First, he's just inside of you. And then he was born into her life where he began to become a physical part of her life. He was maturing in her life as it is. She got to know him more and more and more. And he was attached to her life. Christ attaches to our life in the beginning. He goes where we go. He blesses what we do. He corrects what we do. He teaches us and instructs us in our life that we're living. But then one day Jesus grew up and he said, I'm going somewhere else, Mom. I'm leaving the farm. In his case, carpentry. I'm not going to work in wood with Dad here in carpentry anymore. I'm not going to live in your house here where you're living anymore. I'm going out there to win the lost. I'm going out there to seek the lost. If you want to be intimately with me, you must follow me now in my life. And actually, this is the future I created for you. I'm not going to follow you here. You're going to follow me there. And I believe that's where we are. We are about to follow Christ into what he's getting ready to do. Some will follow and some will say, I'm not leaving the farm. It's the home. I'm comfortable. I want him to keep blessing my life and what I'm doing. He'll still love you. He'll still be with you. But what he really wants is the life he created for you. He wants you to follow him into it. You got to walk where he's going. Ask him where he's going. Ask him what he's doing. Follow him. Don't try to lead him anymore. Go where he's going. Now, Harvey was real flustered the other night. And he was just like stirred to want to do something, go somewhere. He didn't know. I don't know what it is, but I'm stirred about something. Something is different. I've been content for years because God told me to wait. And I've just been waiting. Okay, tub glazed, waiting. I'm waiting. And he had a waiting, resting peace on him. And he felt guilty. He said, why don't I feel that today? Why do I feel so stirred to something and I don't even know what? What is wrong with me? Where is my grace to sit here and wait? And I didn't know that answer. He didn't know that answer. But as I prayed the next morning and I looked into this, following Jesus, truly following him, you know, following him isn't about a physical action. Following him is about just being with him. Because if he moves and you're just with him, you move. If he sits, you sit. The point is to just be right up by his heart, always wanting to just embrace him, be right in his presence. And as you do that, you'll be where he is, wherever he goes. You'll hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And he gave me the answer. He said, when I am giving you resting grace, it's like sometimes Christians like on a treadmill. You ever try to exercise on a treadmill? You're running in place. You're burning up all your energy going nowhere. And usually staring at a wall in front of you, and you're never going to see anything but the wall in front of you. Some people do it in front of a TV and they turn on the TV. They're still not living. They're watching other people live a pretend life. But it's running in place and never going anywhere. Not even seeing opportunity. But when you decide to get off that treadmill and do your exercise out in the woods, now you're on an adventure. You're literally going through that wooded trail. And you might see little animals, you might see a deer, you might see a little bird. Sunshine has enveloped you all around you, like Christ enveloping you when you follow him, when he wants to go somewhere. But the point is staying in his presence. So I'm picturing Harvey on this wooded trail, and Jesus says, just be with me. I'm going to sit down on this stump for a while. Let's just rest here. So Harvey sits on the stump with him, and he comes into resting mode because his whole spirit is in Christ. And Christ is resting in his life. Resting, waiting, resting, waiting. Years and years and years being content. But then what happened the other day, Jesus stood up. He stood up and he just looked toward the future. And when he stood up, because Harvey's in him, his whole spirit stood up and he got excited. He didn't even know why. He got excited because Jesus stood up. Something changed. Something shifted in the spirit realm that said, we're getting ready to move. We're getting ready to do. Ready for what? I don't know, but he stood up. I don't know if you walk in that woods with him, if you just picture yourself, Jesus, I just want to be with you. Whether we sit on that stump to the day I die, or whether we run speeding in a run mode, or rather we're strolling slowly. I don't care, just so I am with you. Just want to be with you. Therefore, wherever you go, I will follow. Whatever you're doing, I will follow. What did you want to say? I'll let you speak it through my mouth. Do it through me, Lord. Coming into oneness. One time we were in a meeting down south, and it was one of those black churches, and I mean, they worship. They burn some calories. I don't know how anybody could not be skinny. But they just jump worship, you know. I couldn't keep up with it, so I just laid on the floor. And when I was laying on the floor, it was like I physically felt Christ show me the oneness. It was like, first, I felt him inside of me. I could feel him to my fingertips. I could feel him like thick honey on my lips. I could hardly move my lips. I could feel the spiritual presence in my entire body. I could feel him in my eyes. And then he said, I am fully inside of you. And then all of a sudden, it changed where I became fully inside of him. And that's the oneness. He is fully in us, but we're fully in him. If he takes a step, our foot will move. If he looks at something, we will see it. If he touches it, it'll be through our hand. We don't always know that. We don't always sense that. He gave me that as something to live by faith with. He said, if you touch, I'm touching. If you kiss, I'm kissing. If you slap him, it was you. Because I draw back when your flesh steps up. But when you're in oneness with me, what I do through you. And it's me. And it is amazing. I've been held in the arms of somebody who was in the presence of God, and I felt I was held in his arms. That's my prayer. That is my prayer. And I don't care how hard that last push needs to be. I want to live following Jesus with him. Whatever he's doing, wherever he's going, that's what we desire. And it all starts because we carry him in our womb.